The breaking news from the NBA tonight on what will be the final night of the season for a period of time, as play will be suspended following this.
Tisha Thompson, investigative reporter for ESPN. Thanks for staying up for us.
Of course. It's been probably the craziest day I think I've ever seen in sports in my lifetime.
Well, it's still Wednesday, barely, and you're right, it has been one of the craziest days we've ever seen. In one sentence, tell us why.
This is the day that coronavirus changed sports as we know it.
And that's what we're talking about as our episode today. I'm Jason Fitz, and this is ESPN Daily, presented by ADT.
We're presented by Marathon. Now, more than ever, we have to look out for each other and count on each other. And Marathon wants you to know that you can count on them for high-quality, top-tier gas. While we are aware travel might not be top of mind, there might be times where you have to hop in the car to run an errand. Maybe you have to drop off groceries and supplies to your family. Maybe you've become an amazing baker and want to drop off a few dozen cookies on your best friend's porch. Or maybe you just want to drive around to all of your friends' homes simply to wave from a safe distance. But before you head out, remember to fuel up at Marathon. Marathon gasolines are formulated with STP additives. They keep your vehicle running at peak performance by optimizing fuel economy, removing those ugly deposit buildups, and reducing emissions. Remember, wherever you need to go, the people at Marathon are behind you all the way. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
Tisha, Wednesday might have been one of the most surreal days in sports. It's the day where coronavirus hit the American sports landscape in a massive way. There were a number of developments, but the biggest one came out of Oklahoma City, where the Jazz were set to play the Thunder. Tell us what transpired there.
Well, I have to tell you, when you watch the video of the game, the players were getting ready to play, and suddenly the team turned around and walked back to the locker room. The second team turned around and walked to the locker room. The officials went up to the announcers. There was conversation, and then the announcers suddenly said, "We're postponing this game."
The game tonight has been postponed. You are all safe. And take your time in leaving the arena tonight and do so in an orderly fashion. Thank you for coming out tonight. We are all safe, and you can visit OKC Thunder.
And I have to tell you, Fitz, when I saw that, I said something really important has happened, because I've been covering the coronavirus and how it impacts large sporting events here for a while now, ever since the virus, you know, has become something that American officials have been very concerned about. And the NBA, along with all of the major leagues and the, college and amateur leagues, they have been paying attention. And there's been a lot of conversations, of course, behind the scenes about, you know, can we keep playing? When should we stop playing? Do we have to stop playing? You know, they're just very realistic conversations. There's a lot riding on this. And so when I saw that, I said something has happened, because what they did not want, I've got to believe, is to have a decision like this happen on television the way it rolled out. And it had to be an important. And of course, it was very important. A player had tested positive.
As you watched the players react to it in that moment, what was your takeaway?
I don't think people quite understood the gravity of what had just happened. And that makes perfect sense to me, because, you know, we really have been trying to go on with our lives while the news has been, you know, nonstop about the coronavirus. You know, not everybody's like me, where everything they're doing is covering the coronavirus. But this has been coming for several days, if not more than a week. As cases continue to increase in the United States, there's been more and more conversation with the CDC and local health departments about, you know, when do we stop allowing people to gather in what's called mass events, large gatherings? You heard the news probably that the famous tennis tournament in Indian Wells, California, which draws upwards of 145,000 people, they postponed last Thursday. South by Southwest, the, you know, really famous festival down in Texas, it was canceled outright. Just, you know, this week, the area around San Jose, California put a ban into place that people may not gather in groups of more than 1,000 people. And then on Wednesday, which, you know, kind of led off this day of just unbelievable news, the governor of Ohio announced that the state was going to ban events over 1,000 people. And that's really what started the domino effect for today, at least for Wednesday, because that meant that the NCAA would not be able to have spectators watching its games in its locations that it had picked in the state of Ohio.
Now, you and I have actually talked about what might happen if a player got the illness. We now know Rudy Gobert got the illness. So at this point, at least that's what's been reported. So what was the reaction to that?
Well, my initial reaction was, okay, most people, if you follow the CDC's recommendations right now, and that's what most healthcare providers are trying to do, if you have had contact with an individual who has had a confirmed case, they then are asking you to do what's called self-isolate, which means take yourself out of the population, stay at home, don't go to work, don't get on public transportation, including airplanes and buses, don't be walking around so other people can get it, right? And what is important about this particular novel coronavirus is nobody before this year had any kind of immunity to it. So everybody is susceptible to it. It's just a matter of when they get exposed. So following that criteria, they really are asking people to stay at home. So what they're going to have to do now, based on what the CDC and health officials have been saying over the last several weeks, is they're going to have to assess who was in closest contact with him and how many people really need to be in like a 14-day self-isolation. How many people are starting to test positive? Generally speaking, the CDC is recommending that people do not get tested unless they have been in contact and they're showing some of the symptoms, because they're trying to make sure that those who really need to be tested get tested. And when I say that, I'm talking about the people who are most in danger of serious illness or dying. And according to statistics that they're looking at coming out of China, they've looked at about 70,000 cases that came out of China, and young people, especially people, you know, 19 and younger, very rarely show any symptoms. And so they don't have many cases for people under 19 years old. And it's just 2% of the 70,000 cases were younger people, and they were all mild for the most part. Instead, it's much older individuals. The CDC is saying folks that are over 60 are at increasing risk, and it's the people who are over 80 years old who are at the most serious risk. And that's somewhat unusual with this virus. It's different from the flu.
With that being said, Rudy Gobert does not fit into any of the high-risk profiles that you just stated. So that sends social media sort of on a dangerous path of trying to figure out where he stands and why this is a big deal for him. So explain why it is a big deal.
Unfortunately for him, is going to be an example of how quickly this can escalate. Because now you have one player that you know is confirmed. And the first thing I did when we found out that the NBA was, you know, essentially pulling the plug on the rest of the season, and this, you know, sort of dramatic moment happened on television, is I went to look at how many games has he played in the last 14 days. And here we go. You ready for it? So I'm talking to you right now on Wednesday, March 11th, right before midnight. So on March 9th, He played Toronto. On March 7th, he played Detroit. On March 6th, he played Boston. And on March 4th, he played the Knicks. So that's four teams right there in just 1 week. And there's some research to show that this is not an absolute, but they're starting to think that the virus shows up anywhere between 3 to 6 days for some people. For most people, it seems to be showing up 3 to 6 days after initial contact. But that's not necessarily the case for everybody, which is how we get into this 14-day period. So if you extend it, on March 2nd, he was in Cleveland, or he played Cleveland. On February 28th, Washington, and then on February 26th, Boston. Now, I haven't looked up every single one of those teams, but let's say, you know, here the Jazz have played 17 in 14 days. He had exposure to all of those guys playing, plus his own teammates, and those guys had exposure to, you know, additional people. Now, all of those teams, if you follow what most people have been following, and you know, this is, we don't know what's going to happen here, okay? But if you're following sort of the general protocols that a lot of people are being given, if you had one-on-one exposure with him, then, and you were his teammate, for instance, or you played against him, that's what, seven teams who've probably played seven other teams. And you can see how this suddenly exponentially grows. And, you know, the NBA is an employer. So now its employees are all having to potentially go into self-isolation for 14 days. And they're young and they're healthy, we, for the most part, we hope, right? But think of all the people that someone in their position has had access to. Their coaches, they may not necessarily be under 60 years old, and there may be situations we don't know about. And then there's, you know, the media, there's the fans, there's just the people they see in their day-to-day life. And it makes sense why the NBA suddenly postponed its season. You've got seven teams right here who were potentially exposed.
Okay, Tisha, we'll get to some sports beyond the NBA in just a minute.
Sure thing, because that's a whole nother situation.
Hi, guys. Given everything that is happening in the world right now, most of us are buying things online. I saw that AT&T started doing two really helpful things for those who want to buy a new phone or device online. They are offering fast, free, non-contact delivery and curbside pickup so that online shopping is as simple and safe as possible. On top of that, they have a flexible return policy so you can shop at ease. You can visit att.com to learn how to shop online from the safety of your home 24/7. Subject to change, restrictions apply.
All right, Tisha, the NBA news broke just a few hours after the NCAA announced its decision to restrict all fans from attending March Madness games on both the men's and women's side. Unlike the NBA, this didn't appear to be in relation to any players or support staff being infected. So what factors were at play for the NCAA making their decision?
Exactly. Because we're talking about spectators now. We're talking about mass gatherings that are more than 1,000 people. The NCAA announced that it was not going to allow people to attend the game unless they were essential staff or certain members of the players' families. And that is coming in direct response after the governor of Ohio announced that he was going to ban mass events of more than 1,000 people. You see how Italy and France made these nationwide bans that people couldn't gather in events that were more than 1,000 people. Well, here in the United States, and don't never say never, because this is so unusual and they've never seen anything like this before. I mean, I've had officials say that we just have never had a situation like this before. So never say never, but generally speaking, the way the laws are written here in the United States, the authority to quarantine and ban mass gatherings and other public health measures are actually held with the state governments and the local governments. It's not the CDC who can order, you know, no events over 1,000 people. It's really going to be the San Jose public health officials or the governor of Ohio, which is what we've seen in the last couple of days here. And so they are making those determinations based on what's happening in their local population. So in early days, I mean, to go back to just Thursday, less than a week ago, Fitz, we were talking about the first major event, which of course was the tennis tournament in Indian Wells. And that's 145,000 people coming from an international location. And when you look at the population that lives in Indian Wells, 59% of people in that area are over the age of 65. So one out of two people living around that tennis tournament is in the increasing to serious risk category compared to the population in the rest of the United States, which averages out to about 15% of people are over 65 years old in the United States. So that population was at particular risk, and it was a huge number of people. And they were coming from all over the world, and they already had confirmed cases of COVID-19. So when you combine all those factors together, it made sense when you started to think about, well, why would they do this? There's so much money. There's so much prestige. There's so much going, you know, it's such a big deal event. Why would you do this? Well, that's the math. That's the calculus that these various health departments are having to do. And what's happening in Indian Wells is very different than what's happening in Oklahoma City, which is very different from what's happening in Seattle. They're all in various stages of dealing with their localized, I don't want to use the word outbreak, but that's kind of what's happening here. They're in various stages of dealing with it. And in Seattle, they've got many, many more confirmed cases. They've had probably the highest numbers of deaths. And meanwhile, you know, places like Oklahoma, well, they just had a very famous confirmed case pop up on television.
So going back to that case right there, walk me through sort of the realistic scenario moving forward for the NBA, because if we're talking about, we don't know how long it will take before we can get a true test on whether players are negative or positive at this point, how long is likely a shutdown necessary before they can make sure that everybody's free and clear?
That's a $1 million question, because it's not just the NBA. It's like every business out there right now. How long am I going to lose my employees? And in this case, how long are these players going to be unable to play? I think that's why the NBA said indefinitely. They don't know. They don't know the answer. You know, there's a big event coming in just a couple of weeks with the NFL draft in Las Vegas. The NFL has not said anything. We've been asking. Of course, we've been asking. But the NFL has not given any indication about the future of that event. I know this sounds crazy, but that's like a lifetime away from now. I mean, you and I were talking earlier today about the NCAA, and just a couple hours later, the whole NBA season disappeared. Because, you know, I think we should pay attention to the NCAA. They've taken a slightly different approach than what the NBA has decided to do. The NBA's players are the situation there. Was the NCAA, it seems to be they're focusing more on spectators. So the NCAA made the decision that we're only going to allow essential staff, and that's a very vague term, or media, for instance, essential staff. Who's essential staff? TV crews, coaches, what do you define as that? We're not totally sure still about what that means. And then limited family members are going to be able to actually attend the games. Where that is coming from, and where the recommendations earlier about limiting access to locker rooms for the pro leagues, is this idea that the CDC wants folks to stay at least 6 feet away from one another, because that is essentially how far the spit and airborne particles that come from someone when they cough or sneeze.
So you mentioned the fact that the NCAA has taken a much different approach by saying essentially nobody that's non-essential than the NBA with what they've done now. Does Rudy Gobert, in your mind, and the way that that's now happened with a player, force the NCAA to re-examine their decision to simply play to closed arenas rather than postpone or cancel the entire tournament?
I can tell you that this is something that at the college level, they've been concerned about. I'm hearing that there was concern that, you know, as they call him, one of their kids, one of their players, who's essentially a college student, you know, they're potentially 17, 18 years old, right? Is traveling to a game for the tournament, test positive, similar to Rudy Gobert, but is now being told that they have to self-isolate in a town by themselves without family. And the universities were, I think, struggling with that reality check. I mean, I that's what I'm being told, is that that was the situation that they've been contemplating. So you really have like two big issues for these organizations. And when I say organizations, I'm talking about pros all the way down through the colleges. It's this idea that, what if our players get sick, or our coaches or our staff get sick or test positive? And also, what about having a huge number of people in one location for public health reasons? Those are two different issues, but they're speaking to the exact same problem, which is none of us are immune, and we're all capable of getting infected.
How would you react to fans that right now think we're all overreacting by canceling these events?
I think it's a natural reaction. I do. Because we've just never had anything like this before, and you don't want to be panicky and you don't want to be afraid. And there are real financial consequences to these kinds of decisions. You know, if you don't have spectators, you can still have, games on television. But if you postpone the entire season, you can't play anymore. So we're talking millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars here with the NBA's decision. It goes everywhere from the person who's coming into the game, you know, taking your ticket or selling you your soda, all the way up to these massive television rights deals with the teams and the advertisers who paid to have you watch their commercials because your favorite team is playing.
We all have eyes right now on the NBA because of their decision to suspend the season. But the NHL, in fact, shares many of those same arenas and locker rooms with NBA teams. What effect does the NBA suspension of a season have on the NHL?
Well, so as soon as the NBA made its decision, we all turned to Emily Kaplan, who's our NHL expert. And we said, Emily, what are you hearing? And within, I wouldn't say minutes, but within the hour, a statement came out from NHL that as of right now, they're not changing their plans. But based on everything we've seen in the last 24 hours, who knows what the NHL is going to do? They've got to do this very complicated calculus. And I think the breaking point for why the NBA did what the NBA did was because one of its players has tested positive and has potentially exposed a significant number of players. And I mean, we should brace ourselves. We may hear that there are more and more players coming out of the Jazz organization, at the very least, who tested positive. There may not be, but I mean, based on what we're seeing with infection rates, they're going to get infected probably.
So walk me through some of the other sports, because you've mentioned earlier the draft and Major League Baseball, but specifically those are two events that typically take place outdoors. Is there a difference for the virus spreading outdoors than inside an arena?
That's a question that has been asked to the CDC, I'm told. And the answer is they do not know. They just do not know. Part of the difficulty for the health officials is this thing didn't exist at Thanksgiving. This virus, as far as we were aware, it was out there, but we didn't know about it at Thanksgiving. And it's, you know, here it is. It's almost spring break, and they are trying to wrap their heads around it.
Tisha, your information here has been incredible. Thank you so much for your time and your insight. We appreciate it.
Of course. Of course.
I'm Jason Fitz. This has been ESPN Daily. Mina is back tomorrow. Take care.